How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for an hour today talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It is Wrestling Observer Week here on Sports Byline USA. We are here every weekday, all this week at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. We're available on the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes, WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com. List goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And as noted, every day leading up to the WWE Royal Rumble, which kicks off this coming Sunday on the WWE Network. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, and Sundays at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, which means that this show is going to go off the air on Sunday the moment the WWE Royal Rumble kicks off. And so all this week, we're celebrating the WWE's second biggest show of the year by talking about all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. SmackDown tapings were last night. Talking about this for the last couple of days, whether or not Daniel Bryan was going to lose his spot in the Royal Rumble if they're going to shoot some sort of angle. We're going to talk about that here today. Yes, we will do some SmackDown spoilers after a while, but I'll give you a warning if you want to turn off the show before we begin to discuss them. Also talk about the full Royal Rumble card thus far. We've got notes on the Impact ratings from this past Friday night on Destination America, as well as the UFC on FS1 ratings with Conor McGregor. They were through the roof. Not only that, I've already got the early odds for Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo. Take a guess on what the odds might be. We're going to talk about those today. Plus, a lot of news on various other big stories in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. The retirement of Kung Lee, Kimbo Slice signing with Bellator, and so much more. Coming up today, we're going to kick it off after the break, plus take your phone calls at 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. .com. We are here every day this week, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. And for those of you that tuned in at the beginning of the show, first off, we're going to take your phone calls in a moment at 855-478-4478. The phone lines are already ringing like crazy. But if you tuned in before the show started, you heard the USA Network News at the top of the hour, and the newscast was done by J.J. Jeffries. And J.J. Jeffries encouraged us to check out the USA Headline News, their new website. And so I was doing that during the break, and as I was discussing with Mike, J.J. Jeffries, the news anchor, is a kung fu expert. We were talking about that during the break, but Mike, what I did not tell you is, as I look at his bio here, are you aware that J.J. Jeffries of USA Network Radio News, at the beginning of this program, every single day, he has continued in other forms of media, such as performing voiceovers for Best Buy, Columbia Records, etc., and he was also an on-camera spokesperson for ESPN and Vern Gagne's All-Star Wrestling.
Really? I'm usually pretty good with this stuff.
That's right. Our own J.J. Jeffries here was an on-camera spokesman for Vern Gagne's All-Star Wrestling on ESPN. Can you believe that?
Maybe he would interview Larry Zbysko during that era where Larry Zbysko broke out the nunchucks and had that gimmick going, and he got him into kung fu, and he got where he is today.
Could be. Could be. I was shocked when I read that, but there's a small world update for everybody. Let's take a call here. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is the executive director of events for S4W and WrestlingObserver.com.
This is
Ed. I'm blaming you for this because of last night on your show with Vinny and Craig. I knew this was going to lead to him calling in.
All right, Ed, tell us all about the WrestleMania festivities this year.
Well, first off, I want to explain why I asked you to plug on different shows. And I know you live in a bubble, but it's real simple. There are different audiences for different shows. There are some people who only want to hear news and don't want to hear anything funny, and they only listen to the Dave show. There are people who don't want to listen to Dave because he's too uptight, and they want to listen to Brian and Vinny. And then there are the freeloaders and indie women fans that listen to this show. So that's why I kind of have to spread it around. And it is true what I say, because every time Dave does talk about an event, the next day I lose half a dozen emails of people asking me. So that is why I like to mix it up and spread it out so more people can hear about what is going on with our meetups in WrestleMania weekend. which unfortunately I have no idea about San Francisco or San Jose. So the only thing set up so far is Friday. We're going to have dinner at Pueblo de Chao. I remember Dave talked about he wanted to do that after the last Vegas trip or last WrestleMania. And I need somebody, if someone in San Francisco or San Jose is willing to find a place big enough or about 50, 60 people to meet for lunch Sunday before WrestleMania, please contact me, email me at f4wfan@hotmail.com. And I'd appreciate it, and we can figure something out to have a second meetup. I'd also appreciate it as if the host, Brian, Vinny, and Craig, would be a little more upbeat when talking about these. The reason we have meetups, since Craig mentioned that, is because for some reason people actually want to meet you guys, and you know, they should be a little more happy about it, or at least Craig should be a little more happy about it.
Well, Ed, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. I hate to cut you out, but your cell phone is absolutely horrible. But that is all the information, everybody. And I would just send out a request to Ed that if you want a happier host, it's probably best not to email and say, Craig, please tell the midget to make sure he reads all of my stuff on the program here tonight. And by the way, I've been alerted, Ed, from somebody in WWE that perhaps we should not do a lunch on the day of WrestleMania because they are opening up the doors much, much earlier this year. So if you do an afternoon lunch, it's likely you're going to be very, very late to the building. So we may have to reconsider that lunch date. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Daniel from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Daniel, what's going on?
Doing very good. I have two quick questions. Was rewatching, as I said, the original season of Tough Enough on the network, and I watched it, and I really didn't enjoy it. I just kind of want to get what your guys' opinions on was why it was airing, and if you think they would, are they thinking about doing another season of Tough Enough?
Oh, they've already signed for another season of Tough Enough. It's coming back. And before we answer, what did you not like about the first season?
Oh, no, I did enjoy it.
Oh, you did enjoy it. Okay.
I actually thought they did a good job of, I think now most of their quote-unquote reality shows just make a mockery of what they actually do in the ring. And this show, you know, this does take some skill, and, it, you know, people do get hurt, and, you know, it is a rough job. So I actually did enjoy it. I thought they did a good job kind of showing how rough this actually could be.
All right, Mike, what did you think of the first episode, the first season of Tough Enough? They are all on the network right now, which is preparation, by the way, for Tough Enough returning, I believe, on the USA Network.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, actually. You know, it got long in the tooth kind of quick for me, but I thought that first season, which I think was Al Snow and Jacqueline and Taz, I thought it was really interesting. I just thought it was interesting. I know a lot of people inside the wrestling business were not big fans of it because it's like, you know, pulling back the curtain, and this was 2005. Obviously the curtain had already been pulled back a little bit, but I could understand why there were people that were not big fans of showing people how to do moonsaults and things like that. But I thought it really served its purpose as far as just being something interesting and giving people a look, you know, who maybe want to be pro wrestlers, you know, giving them a look about what they actually have to go through. I think, you know, the first season was pretty good. The second season was, you know, it kind of lost its value for me there. And then when it came back, obviously, with the legendary Cameron and some of the other people that were on it, I thought it kind of jumped the shark. But I guess enough time has passed where they're going to break it back out again.
All right, here's what I can tell you about the new season of Tough Enough here, and I want to thank you very much for the call. First off, I'm not 100% positive that this is a legitimate casting notice, but I'm fairly sure that it is. They are looking for season 6 of Tough Enough. WWE and USA Network seeking applicants. They're looking for individuals with charisma, personality, strength, and athleticism. They're looking for people who watch WWE and think, that should be me. They want your name, age, city, state, contact info, two current photos, athletic background, and a brief paragraph telling us why you think you have what it takes to be the next superstar or diva. Pro wrestling experience says here is not a requirement. And again, I'm pretty sure that is a legit casting notice. I also know that they had been planning to do Tough Enough for a while. and it was going to happen last spring, but it didn't end up happening. They were going to do it on the WWE Network, but because of the finances of the WWE Network and their projections and the number of subscribers that they actually got, they ended up canceling production on it. It was going to be shot down in Orlando, and it was going to utilize talent that were in the NXT system, but not necessarily people that were already on the active NXT roster. So you probably wouldn't see a Bayley or a Sami Zayn or something like that. But there are, I think, 80 people or so that are signed by WWE and developmental, and only a handful of those are on TV. So a lot of them that aren't on television would be involved in this. And they're probably going to start shooting it sometime soon after Mania. And again, that's why these episodes are showing up on the WWE Network. So when we know more confirmed information, obviously we'll talk about it on the website and on our other shows.
I wonder for the people that watched it, what their memories, their biggest memories are, because you did have Daniel Puter, you know, with the deal with Kurt Angle, with putting him in a Kimura, and was it the guy Jonah who faked the neck injury? And there were some memorable moments over the years, far more memorable sometimes than some of the winners were, like, you know, Jackie Miles. Or Jackie Gaeta and Linda Miles.
Yeah. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, what's up? We got a limited amount of time, so let's get going.
Okay. I wanted to tell you about the Tough Mean contest I went to.
Oh, man. Hold on, Ryan. That's the music. Stand by. We'll pick you up when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here taking your phone calls. We'll be talking the news as well this afternoon. And we've got Ryan on the line. Ryan, what is going on?
I want to tell you about this Tough Mean contest I went to in West Virginia over the weekend, because they ran a storyline that was very famous to a WWE storyline ran in the 1990s that Jim Ross did with the fake Diesel and the fake Razor Ramon.
Oh, no.
They had fake tough men?
Don't tell me they brought in a fake George St. Pierre and a fake Kimbo Slice.
And they're the Mulkey brothers.
Who did they bring in?
They brought in a fake Rock and a fake Big Show.
As fighters?
Right. Well, one was a boxer and one was a tough man fighter.
I see. Did the Rock and the Big Show face each other?
No, they did not. What happened was The Rock was the featured fighter for this show. The most notable thing that happened was supposedly a police officer got punched in the mouth by one of the fans, and all the fans got up. The announcer cut a heel promo on the fans to sit down and behave themselves. And The Rock actually lost his match, even though he's being fed to like a jabroni. And they did the old Bob Backlund angle where the trainer throws in the towel, even though I think The Rock could have won the fight, but for some reason the trainer decided to throw in the towel.
The trainer threw in the towel for The Rock?
Yep.
I can't even believe it. Did this guy look like The Rock?
No, he was white.
Could he at least do the eyebrow gimmick?
He was white.
He came out to The Rock's theme song, though.
How about that? Was he billed as The Rock?
My brother actually thought it was Dwayne Johnson, because he was asking me when I went if I was to see Dwayne Johnson fight. So a lot of people were actually confused this was Dwayne Johnson.
But we're sure it was not Dwayne Johnson. You can confirm that, Ryan.
Right, and this definitely was not the Big Show. But they obviously wanted this Big Show to win because he got knocked down for a 90-second count, but they wouldn't stop the fight.
It sounds like the best show ever. He was down for 90 seconds.
Right, and what made it so weird was he went down a second time. The second time he went down, he couldn't get up. Supposedly, he dislocated his shoulder. So either the referee was afraid of him or they really wanted the Big Show to win this fight.
So when he didn't get up, I presume he did lose that time.
Right.
Mm. Man, not a good night for the WWE stars.
I can't verify that because I went home shortly after the Big Show fight, because that's who I came to see.
That's who you came to see.
Now, how big was the Big Show?
Good question, Mike.
He was 6'5 and weighed 310 pounds.
So kind of like the medium show.
Yeah.
I see.
Right.
Well, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for the update. You've got to go to more of these shows so I can get more updates on these WWE stars that are attempting to fight in Tough Man competition. And I do have to say, as much as we were laughing during that call, a guy getting out knocked down for 90 seconds and then them allowing the fight to continue, that's no good.
Well, I mean, really, when it comes to tough man competitions in 2015, concussions, all sorts of things like that, I don't know if those are necessarily the best events in the world as far as well, I'm trying to figure out the words here, but the only thing I know is obviously our friend the Memphis Mofo should be very afraid since he'll be going to West Virginia to wrestle very soon.
Oh, really?
Yes, in Harper's Ferry. So hopefully I can get him to go to the John Brown Museum and be scared to death and see ghosts.
All right, let's go back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Mo from Ottawa.
Mo, what's going on?
Hey, I just had a question on basically the direction of New Japan right now.
All right.
And after the Okada and Tanahashi match, are they going to like keep Okada basically out of the heavyweight basically division for a bit, maybe push him down to the IC like Tanahashi did, I think it was last year? Yeah, when he beat Nakamura for the IC title, maybe just to keep them away from each other for maybe their eventual rematch.
Yeah, it certainly could be that way. I mean, on this current tour that they have going on now, he has been kind of bumped down the card a little bit. He's in mostly tag matches and things like that leading into their bigger show in Osaka on February 11th. He's going to be in a six-man on that show with Toru Yano and Kazushi Sakuraba, which is just a wacky team going against the Bullet Club members Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro, and Tama Tonga. So obviously he's been kind of pushed down a little bit. I don't know if what the direction is exactly going to be with him. I mean, they are so loaded on top when it comes to, I mean, just on that show itself, you have Tanahashi and AJ Styles, Goto and Shibata against Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. And they're the two biggest matches by far on that show. So it'll be an interesting year for Okada. Obviously, the last time anybody saw him in a high-profile situation, he was crying after his loss against Hiroshi Tanahashi. I could see him in the IC title mix, although I wonder what it's going to be with him because I'm still a proponent of I can see him because fans love him anyway. I mean, technically he's a heel, but he gets cheered for every single thing that he does. I could see him, again, as the year goes on, maybe suffering some more indignities and ultimately turning face while Tetsuya Naito, who is currently a babyface right now, is turned heel.
I kind of got the impression from watching the end of Wrestle Kingdom when Okada was there crying and weeping that they were going to do that long, you know, the long road back to the top storyline that's always done. And that was the impression I got. And I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Okada and Nakamura, I'm trying to think of how many singles matches they had. It has not been many, and I'll do a double check on this. In fact, I think it's only been one. And if I recall correctly, it was a pretty great one. So, you know, for him down the line, taking that IC title off of Nakamura, I could actually see that happening.
Yeah, that G1 final match, the last one was Nakamura versus Okada, which was one of my matches of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great match, and it was, you know, it's a match that a lot of people were surprised that they did, because why not save that one till the Tokyo Dome? And again, with the way New Japan does its booking and everything, we could see that rematch again at the Tokyo Dome next year. Or, I mean, you could even see Okada and Tanahashi again. It may be a little long in the tooth, but you could see Okada and Tanahashi and him finally vanquishing Tanahashi and kind of getting his due that way against him.
I want to thank you very much for the call. I should note, by the way, everybody, that if you're a subscriber to the website, today is the day that the Wrestling Observer Newsletter's annual awards issue comes out. It is in the hands of Vinny right now. He is furiously editing and formatting it, and it should be up on the website very, very soon. I have seen all of the winners. I don't want to tease anybody here. You'll all see them very soon if you're a subscriber. But for the most part, there are a couple of names that may surprise people here and there, but largely, I think it is about what you would expect for a lot of the winners. So we're going to be discussing that tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, myself and Dave Meltzer. And we can talk about some tomorrow on this show as well, since we are here every single day this week at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. To the phones.
Before we do, what an interesting year, too. I mean, there are no slam dunks, you know, with Daniel Bryan going out of the year early and how many people actually get a chance to see Japan and yeah, Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero. I mean, a lot of the awards, this is probably as wide open as it's been, you know, for a majority of the awards, and it's been in a long, long time.
To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Danny from Cheltenham. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to the Rumble on Sunday. I can't wait. It's going to be pretty good. I don't know what I'm in store for, but hopefully it's something good.
I sure hope so. I got to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. What I think will happen, personally, is that Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan will happen at WrestleMania. And what will happen is, like, Seth Rollins will cash in Money in the Bank after Rusev attacks Cena. And then Daniel Bryan wins the Rumble. I don't think it's the most marketable match, per se, but I think it's a match that is worth seeing.
Well, we're going to be talking. I want to thank you very much for the call. We're going to be talking about the Royal Rumble after the next break. We're going to go over the card for the show, do some predictions, and talk a lot of news. So if you want to call, we're only moments away from shutting down the phone line. So get your call in right now, 855-478-4478. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
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 Yeah, you're on the air. What's
hi,
up?
My name is John. I was calling about Lucha Underground.
It returns tonight.
I'm a big fan of the show. It's been having some issues attracting an audience already.
I hate to cut you off, but your cell phone connection is horrible. But we can at least discuss some El Rey here. Show, I think, is great, but it takes a long time to build an audience. And I don't know. What do you think of El Rey, Mike? Is there any chance of I mean, not a lot of people get El Rey is the problem. So significantly more people are able to watch it on Unimas, which unfortunately is the Spanish language version. What would you recommend for them going forward with Lucha Underground? Moving it to another station?
Force my cable distributor to actually carry El Rey so I could actually see it, because I'm also watching on Unimas as well for that very reason, although I'm going to try to go out tonight and actually catch the show, because I have not seen it in English before, and I really like the show. But it does take a long time to try to build an audience. But the amount of money that they pour into this thing, I mean, it's a beautifully shot show. Aesthetically, it's great, but it takes a lot of time, and I don't know how much time they're going to have.
All right, stand by, everybody. No more phone calls. All news when we come back from the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And, of course, for the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Radio shows every single day when this one-week run is up. Hey, still two shows a day every single day up at WrestlingObserver.com. Minimum two shows a day. Sundays we do three. We're going to be doing three this Sunday as well. The Wrestling Observer Live show, the Royal Rumble post show with myself, Vinny, and likely Craig, and then the Royal Rumble post show with Dave. I'll be back with Dave tonight. We'll be talking the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards all night tonight. All of this only for subscribers. As a subscriber, not only do you get two brand new shows every day, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. Over 6,000 hours of audio is available in the archives. That is over double the amount of archived content as the WWE Network. And you not only get new and archived audio, but you get the full text of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, 35,000 words a week. Wrestling Observer Newsletter. There is a new back issue of the Observer that goes up every week from about 15 years ago. Figure Four Weekly goes up every week as well. Those also available in the Kindle store on Amazon.com. So if you are a wrestling fan, it is the one and only wrestling website you will ever need for news, newsletters, audio, history, everything. WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there, sign up today, join the fun. Had many people call and talk about how much they enjoy the website after finally signing up. So give it a shot. If you don't like it after a month, you never have to sign up again. But if you sign up, I'm pretty sure you will be a subscriber for life. No more calls here today. We've got news to talk about. And Mike, the ratings for Raw just came in Monday. First hour, 4.3 million viewers. Hour two, 4.1 million. And hour three, 3.8 million. So 3.9, essentially. And a drop as usual, but still some much better numbers with no football competition for Raw.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not only, you know, not having football being in the way, but it's just that build towards WrestleMania. We talked about it a lot, no matter how bad it usually is. And it was pretty bad leading into this year's Royal Rumble. There's always some hope and inspiration. And the way they ended that show, too, I'm still not the show is very long, but it's still to me a little bit troubling that they have the drop off that they do. I'm not sure what the overrun did or anything like that. And there really wasn't much of one this week as far as an overrun goes. But I'd be interested to see what the last 15 minutes or so were, because that was a really again, it was a really great way to end the show.
All right, if you don't want spoilers for SmackDown, I suggest you mute your audio for about 5 minutes here, because we're going to talk about what went down at the tapings last night, because all of that plays obviously into the Royal Rumble, and since we're going over the card here today, we have to talk about it. So here we go. First off, the big match on the show was Daniel Bryan versus Kane. Is Daniel Bryan going to be removed from the Rumble, or is he going to beat Kane and go on to the Rumble? Daniel Bryan did, in fact, win the match, so he has not been removed from the Rumble. All of my storyline ideas for Daniel Bryan out the window. He is now just in the Royal Rumble, and I guess we'll see how he does. They gave matches to all three of the fired performers, Eric Rowan, Ryback, and Dolph Ziggler. Storyline was they all had to win a match to get into the Rumble, and so Dolph Ziggler beat Bad News Barrett to get into the Rumble. So Bad News Barrett, the streak of losses as Intercontinental Champion, continues here in this company. We had Ryback versus Rusev, and Ryback won via countout, however, but that does put him into the Royal Rumble. And then finally, the poor Vintner had to face his former partner, Luke Harper, and lo and behold, Luke Harper won. Eric Rowan is not in the Royal Rumble. Man, this poor guy. One thing after another.
Well, maybe they just figure, hey, we'll put him in if he loses. He's got so much to fall back on with all of his skills that he has.
You know, he's got the winemaking and...
What was he, a concert cellist or something like that? What was the deal with that? Classical guitarist or something?
Classical pianist? I don't know. But that leads us now to the Royal Rumble. We have more names for the event. The actual Royal Rumble match, we've got Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Rusev, Bray Wyatt, Bad News Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Gold and Stardust, Big Show, Kane, Miz and Mizdow. Yeah, that's right, everybody. Miz and Mizdow now in the Royal Rumble. They weren't in there as of Monday, but they've been added. So maybe our idea will come to pass. As well as Truth, Ziggler, and The Ryback, all in the Royal Rumble. We've also got The New Day against Tyson Kidd, Cesaro, and Adam Rose. Lesnar, Cena, and Rollins. The Usos against Miz and Mizdow, working twice on the show. Paige and Natalya against the Bellas. And the New Age Outlaws versus the Ascension. Connor and Victor, Mike.
This is, you know, obviously people are going to watch it for the Royal Rumble. And you do have the triple threat match. But, yeah, not a very exhilarating card underneath of that, is there?
Well, you know what? It's just like Raw Monday. All you need is a great main event, and everybody will forget about everything else. It's exactly what happened Monday. Monday's show, somebody was critical of our review on the Observer Radio show for subscribers on Monday night.
Really?
That we weren't putting the show over enough. He really enjoyed the show, and all I could think was, if you took that main event segment out, that show really wasn't all that good. But you put that main event segment in, and it was a really fun show.
Well, it's kind of like the sliding scale. And a lot of people talk about, man, that match was great. It's like, well, no, Flair Steamboat was great. You know, there's been a lot of great matches. Just because, you know, the show is better than it has been doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. It just means it was better than the one before it.
And we also had a dark match at SmackDown where Bryan, Ambrose, and Reigns beat Rollins, Bray Wyatt, and Kane. And the word is, I will have to see this to believe it, that Roman Reigns did an interview earlier in the evening, and the word we got is that it was good.
Really? I wonder what the catch is there. I guess, did no one write anything down and make him memorize it?
Either that or he's turning into Dean Ambrose and he can deliver a bad promo in a believable manner.
He certainly should learn both skills. Although, from what everybody says, you know, if left up to his own devices, he's a witty guy and is pretty good. So either it's the acting school or he's actually speaking his own words. Either way, it will be a great improvement, especially if they are still planning on going with him to defeat Brock Lesnar or at least be in the title mix at WrestleMania, which I don't personally believe he is, but there's still a lot of people who do.
The Thrill Chaser here on Twitter. And by the way, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. And obviously, Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. But the Thrill Chaser here believes that Rowan is going to be the new Big Show. He is going to turn at the Rumble again.
Well, why not?
You know that the Big Show is fixing for his 33rd turn, I believe, if my math is correct.
You know, the only problem, it wouldn't stop them from doing it, but the problem there is they do, if Randy Orton is coming back as a good guy, and granted Brock is leaving, but still, you have Roman Reigns, Ambrose Ziggler, Ryback. There are a lot of guys still on the good guy side of the roster. So to put Big Show back on there, I don't know why you would do that unless you're going to have him lose to a Rusev or something like that, which I think we already danced that dance with he and Rusev after the Mark Henry thing. So I don't know. I did get a message, too, from Rohan who said I was wrong saying 2005. The first season of Tough Enough was 2001, which put Maven, actually, for those who did not know this or don't remember, he got entered into the 2002 Royal Rumble where he drop kicked the Undertaker out of the ring and eliminated him.
That's right. I was just watching that last night on Santino's special on the WWE Network, replacing Main Event.
And granted, he got beaten up afterwards by the Undertaker and dragged to the back, but it was still a more pleasurable experience than what I recall Daniel Pewter having when he was put in there and just chopped to death by, I think it was Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and Hardcore Holly.
I would like to add, by the way, that we've just got an email here that I'd like to read. Since some people have been asking, Jonathan here says, I ordered New Japan World Online and was wondering if you guys know something. When the live events are taking place, they mute the music during the wrestlers' entrances. It's kind of annoying. Not sure if anybody has brought it up. In fact, they have brought it up. The issue is that if they don't have the rights to the music, then they simply mute it during the deal. So that's the story behind that.
Yeah, there's no secondary track or anything to it at all. It's in most cases, like I guess people were able to see on the pay-per-view version if you bought that of Wrestle Kingdom. But yeah, they'll just mute it all the way down and that's it.
I should add here as well, in terms of ratings, we've also got the ratings for Total Divas. They are still up this season. I gave up 2 episodes before the end of last season. I had been watching it religiously. Religiously is probably not the right word. I was going to make a comment, but I'm going to not. But anyway, I had been watching it, and I gave up 2 episodes before the end of the season. I could just take no more. The show had jumped the shark for me, but apparently it does not jump the shark for everybody else. 1.3 million viewers this week. It has fallen a little bit in the past 3 weeks, but very, very little. And still doing 1.3 million viewers. So that is a very good number. And the biggest number of the entire weekend, in some ways, was the rating for the UFC on FS1 on Sunday night. It was a Sunday night show. If you watched the football games, they played up all afternoon that Conor McGregor was going to be fighting. They did a great job hyping it up, and it paid off. The Conor McGregor fight, 3.1 million viewers. It was the highest viewership for a UFC event on cable, I believe, since 2009. I may have that stat wrong, but regardless, it was a very, very good number. Conor McGregor, his self-promotion paid off. So there you go, a very good number. And Mike, I got to ask you, what do you think the odds are for the Conor McGregor Jose Aldo fight as of right now? Who do you believe is the favorite, and what do you believe the odds are?
Oh, I would say it's, you know, the odds can be wacky. I think, you know, personally, Jose Aldo, it's not even close. I would make him a heavy favorite. With that said, as I've seen a lot of times with boxing, when there is a polarizing figure, say Ricky Hatton or something like that, the odds are never what you see. So I would still say Aldo is at least a 2-1 favorite, but I think it's a much larger spread than that.
Aldo is, in fact, the favorite. Although right now, at this moment, the odds are minus 195 for Aldo, plus 155 for Conor McGregor.
Wow. Wow. it's
wow,
you never make
is
any
right.
money betting on favorites, and I'm not trying to diminish or put down McGregor at all here, but this isn't like Cormier and Jones, I don't even think. I think Aldo, again, McGregor's going to have a long career. His mouth is always going to keep him into things, but this is a very daunting challenge he's going in there with, and he has not been in there with a guy like Aldo. And granted, hey, Aldo has been undefeated now for, what, 10 years? I mean, you know, maybe he is starting to slow up. There is going to be somebody maybe one day that finally knocks him off his perch, and I guess who better than Conor McGregor? But when you look at those odds, my first thing would be when the rest of the odds come out, I'm taking Aldo at minus 195, and I'm going to, you know, kind of parlay him in with something else, because I'm those odds to me are way too close, and it's not an insult to McGregor. I think in a way it's a little bit insulting to Jose Aldo.
And also, are you aware that Joseph Duffy, who is the last man to beat Conor McGregor, he has signed with the UFC, and I believe Conor has stated that if Jose Aldo pulls out or chickens out or whatever he might say about the guy, he would be willing to step in there with Joseph Duffy. Duffy beat Conor McGregor in 2010. Joseph Duffy only has one loss at this point, and his victory over Conor McGregor, 38 seconds of the first round with an arm triangle. Now in the UFC. We're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi also here, WrestlingObserver.com. And it is up, the 2015 Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards issue is on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now, only for subscribers, so head up there. Check it out. See all of the winners in every single one of the categories. Wrestler of the Year, Best and Worst Match. The list goes on and on. It is up right now. And later on tonight, only for subscribers, Dave and I are going to do a full show talking about not only all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts, but we're going to go over all of the results from the 2014 awards issue. So head up there and check that out, and then check out the show later on tonight. Don't forget that Mike and I are also back here tomorrow. We are here all this week at 5 Pacific, I'm sorry, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, although it does replay at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern tonight as well. Every single day this week we are here, and then Saturday and Sunday back to our normal schedule, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And you can check out a replay of this show if you missed any of it later on tonight on Sports Byline USA or on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. So make sure you head up there and check that out. We've also got a free stream where I am running a marathon of all of the Wrestling Observer Live episodes this week. That's also available up there at WrestlingObserver.com. So certainly if you are a wrestling or mixed martial arts fan, there is no better place to go today than WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, tonight is also Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground is tonight, as well as NXT. And SmackDown is now on Thursday, so we can talk about that tomorrow as well. So much stuff. That's it for today. I want to thank you all for listening and calling. Thanks, Mike, as always. Everybody at Sports Byline USA. We'll talk to you again tomorrow with a brand new show, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.